Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Have you ever seen, I asked you earlier, but I never got an answer from you. Have you ever seen the show Extraordinary?
No.
Because I'm not a superpower or any of that. That's typically not what I go down. But it's a show, I think it was on Hulu initially, and basically everyone by the age of 18 gets some superpower. But the funny thing about it is that everyone gets a different superpower. And so some people just have the worst superpowers that you could ever think of. Just like completely unnecessary. It'd be like the Giggler.
Mm. Well, we'll have that superpower conversation coming up in about 20 minutes here, but is this Evan Mobley series to have his coming out party in the playoffs?
I think it is. I think this is the one that when people ask you what's the ranking in this series, is it Donovan first, and then is it Mobley or Halliburton? I think this is the series that question gets answered, and it's unequivocally Evan Mobley above Halliburton.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be opportunities. If Darius isn't healthy, if Darius has to miss a few games, this would be one that Evan looking good in this series is great, because also you do have Miles Turner, who a little overrated, but he is kind of a block artist. Like, that is somebody, like, his defensive skills are something you're going to have to think about in this series.
He's big. They got big players. For some reason, I don't know why, I always thought Siakam was massive, because he is, but for some reason people don't view Siakam as a 6'8" guy with the wingspan of someone that's 7'4". He's huge. Like, there's going to be some challenging moments for not only Mobley, but also Allen. I think it's going to be very different to see how they handle it, but it's exactly the type of moments that I think Mobley can really shine.
I just think what's interesting is we got really spoiled in the Miami series because everybody looked good.
Yeah.
Except Isaac Okoro, which,
yeah, well,
I mean, listen, game four, when it was like him versus G-Leaguers, he had a moment or two.
We had one bad game out of DeAndre Hunter, game one.
Yep.
And then he wiped that away and was awesome.
I mean, by like a wide margin.
Did you see some of the round one numbers for Max Strus, by the way? For someone that routinely got dogged by the Morning Boys, he was incredible.
In fairness, that'll be his one series. That was the series.
42% on three-pointers contested catch and shoot three-pointers, and then everything else was in the 90 percentile for basically everything that you could do on a court.
All right, if I gave you 38% or higher for three-point shooting for the rest of the playoffs.
And that's not even contested.
Max.
That's just open, non-open, everything in between.
No. I'm just saying 38% or more. So I'm going to give you an extra 4% or 5% there. Would you take the...
Okay, now you're having me worry about some regression that's going to hit this team.
Well, specifically Max. Because I actually think this is a DeAndre Hunter series. I think this is a great series for
because
DeAndre.
They're bigger.
And I just think the more that guy shoots, when you have size in shooting on the perimeter, I think that'll take a lot of the pressure off the small guards.
It's because of the size. Yeah. I'm fascinated to see how this whole entire thing goes, and I want to see the matchups. I want to see how they fight fire with fire. But this has got to be an Evan Mobley series.
But I don't know if it has to be. But I will say, like, Because I think you bring up a good point. Like, this is the next opportunity for Evan to take over a series. I still don't know he's there in his career, but I got to tell you, if we had an Evan Mobley game, like if it is Cavs in five, and we had another instance where, like, I think it was game three where they blew the doors off the Heat, but Donovan didn't have a great game,
mm-hmm.
and Evan was the guy leading the way. Evan puts like 30 up and 14 boards and a block and a steal and this, that, and the other. I do think it would give you a little extra oomph going into Boston.
I mean, when you watch some of these series, though, you're looking at some of the second and third players, and them having great nights are really being the differentiator here. Siakam himself, Siakam in that Milwaukee series, you have him go 25, 27, 28, and it's all of a sudden it's good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Like, it's a difference. I think about Minnesota with this, too. Minnesota, like, Gobert played out of his mind in that Lakers series. He was unreal.
That's somebody who will regress.
For sure. But, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, it's like the difference between that Gobert and the Gobert between the regular season, night and day. Julius Randle. That Julius Randle versus the Julius Randle you saw in the regular season. Like, I'm not asking for Mobley to step up and be the greatest player we've ever seen. But if he can be what he was in the first series and be what we've seen really in the last stretch here, I mean, that's night and day for this Cavs team.
I still think we're to the point where these series are more about Donovan than anyone else.
Well, Donovan's your break glass in case of emergency in my eyes.
Oh, see, I look at it the other way. Like, Donovan's got to be your best player, and then, all right, maybe this game, Evan's your second best. This game, Darius is. This game, DeAndre is.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it like, if Donovan ends up being the best player, then great, he is your best player. But Donovan is the one that in the fourth quarter, if you're down five, you break the glass open, he's your emergency, and then you go out there and you win the game, and he's able to do that. But you got to be careful when you use that, and you can't go to that well all day, every day either.
216-474-0092. Will this series be Evan Mobley's coming out party? Do you need to see just a demonstrative Evan Mobley game in a win before you get to Boston?
I'd like to, yeah. Like, I'm trying to spin this into a way where it just seems like I'm basically an Evan Mobley fanboy, right? Like, I'm trying to get to a spot where I feel very comfortable that Mobley's gonna not only have a great series, but have like one of those series where everyone inside the NBA is just gushing over how great he is, and then all the NBA stat heads are like, we've been waiting on this series forever, and he finally delivered it. Am I asking too much of Mobley? I know it's not necessary for them to win the series. They can get by without that, but heading into the Boston series, it'd be really nice to see, Nick.
I don't know that you're asking too much. I think it's a fair ask. I don't know how that's how this thing is built yet. You know what I mean? Like, this is still very much, and I think the playoffs, at least the way the playoffs have started, have proven this. This is still Donovan's team, and so I think when it's time to turn to somebody, we got to have this game. Like in Indy, it's very clearly Tyrese
always Halliburton, and I think that answer is still Donovan. By the way, when it goes to you need points, you need to win this game in the fourth quarter. That still is Donovan's role.
I think it's Donovan, and then if it's not Donovan, it's Darius.
Very fair.
So, an Evan Mobley game isn't just, well, he was great across three quarters. We've had those. There's two games in the Miami series where they probably rightfully could be called Evan Mobley games. That game three could be called an Evan Mobley game. He kind of, some of the credit that he deserved got canceled out because Jared Allen was also really stinking good. But no, I mean, to me, I would love to see Evan at the end of a playoff game go off and have, it's not even just about points, but have a 10-point fourth quarter and lock him down defensively.
Yeah.
Meaning like on both, to me, that's more important.
Well, the defense would be huge in this one.
Yeah. But to me, that's more important right now than just last 30 points. If you see it, it's great. But I don't know I need to see it. Like, I guess my thing is, I don't want to put all the pressure specifically on Evan in this series, because I don't think this series is all about Evan.
No, I don't think he really has much pressure. I think it's so interesting how all these other number twos on teams, or all these other guys that you're eventually going to pass it off to, they all seem to enter these series with like the weight of the world on their shoulders, and I just never get that vibe from Evan.
I don't think...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't think you'd know if he did, because he's just such a quiet kid.
But we just never feel that way. And I never feel going into a series that he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. I feel like...
Anybody on the Cavs?
I feel with Donovan. Yeah, I feel like in the fourth quarter, especially, when we expect him to take over and win these games, I do feel like there's pressure on Donovan. For sure there is. I agree with you in that I don't think there exists any pressure at all on guys like Jared Allen, though.
Yeah, no, well, I mean,
like Allen never has that.
You mean above and beyond just normal playoff
pressure?
Above
and beyond. Yeah.
I mean, I think Darius probably feels that a little bit because I think Darius wants to be the guy on a championship team.
And I think Darius in playoff games in particular, there's always going to be added weight.
I think it's interesting. We're in an interesting spot with this Cavs team. That I mean, I think Donovan feels it because Donovan's 27, 28 years old. Because he's not on borrowed time. I don't want to make it seem like that. But we're to the part of his career where, you know, I think he knows it's now a clock for him to go out there and cement his legacy or maybe transform his legacy. I think there's a grace in the youth of Darius and Evan that when you're 25 or you're 23, you don't really realize you don't have 15 more cracks at this.
Oh, that's a good point. Like maybe they're not even playing with the urgency attached to it all because they just assume they're always going to be there.
And I think the other thing is, last year you saw a lot of guys kind of playing individually desperate, but they didn't really know how to play together desperate. I don't see any desperation this year because I think they trust each other. I think there's a trust there between all of these guys that I don't think was there last year. It doesn't mean they didn't like each other, but even something as simple as like who brings the ball up the court last year in the Orlando series looked like it was a debate. It looked like Donovan was trying to clear the way for Darius. It looked like they were being too respectful of each other's space. Like when two people first move in together and you're like, well, I mean, that's usually where the hamper goes, but I mean, she didn't put the hamper there and that's not worth a fight. You know, you're trying so hard to be courteous and thinking of the other person. Whereas I just don't think any of that's there this year. So like, it's weird. Like the Cavs are the far better team. I've said Cavs in five, the Cavs should have the pressure on them. Indiana should be playing with house money. I don't see it.
Well, I think that goes to show what winning 64 games in the regular season can do, right? Like everyone always discounts the regular season, but it's when you win 64 games, you don't really have those fights or those arguments, do you? You're just kind of like, okay, we got something that works. Let's keep this going.
Oh, I think it's more just, I think, listen, 64 wins helps, but I think you could have the same kind of thing if you won 55 games. It just feels like
just a ton of games to win. That's all.
Like,
it's proof positive in the concept.
But I don't think I've ever been this confident about a non-LeBron team in the playoffs.
Well, especially in like the second round.
I mean, this is again good team in Indiana. No disrespect to them, but it's just I'm not thinking about them. I'm thinking of the Cavs, and I know like listen. If they do need an Evan game and Donovan or Kenny Atkinson, if they go to him, oh, they're going to get it. Like, that's maybe the other thing. Like, if it needs to be, if they go to him and say that we need you in this moment, it has to be you. Please, we need you to get us over the hump here. He can do it.
Yeah.
There's almost a part of me that's like, it'd be great if you could see it, but I don't think you're going to need it.
Hmm. Okay. I do think it's interesting. Do you feel the same way as well? Everyone's really locked into this series, obviously. But after game one, let's say, if it is a blowout and it does feel like it's as maybe mismatched as what Vegas tells us in a 7.5-point game, are we going to start turning the page to Boston and are we going to start looking at how Boston looks and everything else attached to that? Or are we going to stay just focused and locked into the Pacers series?
I think we'll probably do that until the Cavs lose a game in the playoffs. Like, I think we'll do the, oh, man, what's Boston doing? You know, tonight, yeah, it's game two, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and, like, sit out in the sunroom. I'm speaking from experience here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and sit out in the sunroom. I'll watch the game through the window, but I'm not really going to, like, I'm not going to live and die with it. I think that happens until the Cavs lose a playoff game.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. The other day, I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, they legitimately could win a title this year. And I know we say that a lot. We're like, oh, they could be NBA title contenders and everything else associated with it. But have you thought about them actually winning a title this season? Like the thought of this team raising the trophy is just not one that I think a lot of people have stopped and actually given credence to.
Yeah, because it just doesn't feel real
yet. Does it still feel so far away?
Yeah. I mean, even now, like I'm excited for this series as much as I can be. And maybe I'm preaching what I'm going to feel here. But until I see the Pacers put the boots to the Cavs, I'm just not going to sweat it. Until I see the Cavs get punched in the mouth and stagger and not get up,
yeah,
I think I'm just going to sit back and go, hey, cool. I'm really enjoying the hell out of this.
Yeah, if we're doing the edge of couch watching on this one, I'll be at the edge of my couch, but I think by halftime I might be relaxed. I might be more chill than anything.
June, by the way, Red, who's saying fighting over a hamper placement is a big deal. At some point, I just said, yeah, wherever you want it, I don't care.
At what point did you guys get individual hampers?
That's where we're at now.
That's where I'm at now.
And the reason is, I live in a house with four women. If my clothes go in with theirs, I'll never see it again.
That's exactly right. They just somehow, they disappear.
And it's like, I know I have socks. And now everyone's wearing my socks because dad's socks are bigger than anyone else's.
Okay.
So of course it's like, oh, I love wearing the big comfy socks. It's like, you know who else loves those big comfy socks? Dad.
Yeah, the person that bought
them for himself. I think we worked through some stuff there. 216-474-0092. Is the Pacer series going to be the playoff coming out party for Evan Mobley and the superpower? I mean, it sounds useful. One athlete has it. I don't know. You really want to have it, though. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.